A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and head south on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the desert route." So he got up and set out. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, that is, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury, who had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join up with that chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" So he invited Philip to get in and sit with him. This was the scripture passage he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will tell of his posterity? For his life is taken from the earth. Then the eunuch said to Philip in reply, "I beg you, about whom is the prophet saying this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture passage, he proclaimed Jesus to him. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, there is water. What is to prevent my being baptized?" Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but continued on his way rejoicing. Philip came to Azotus and went about proclaiming the good news to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. The word of the Lord. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Bless our God, you peoples. Loudly sound his praise. He has given life to our souls. He has not let us our feet slip. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. When I appealed to him in words, praise was on the tip of my tongue. Blessed be God who refused me not, my prayer or his kindness.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Verbum Domini. My dear friends, we continue the daily scripture readings in this Easter season from Acts in the first reading and from John in the gospel reading. The readings from Acts began this week with the persecution and then the martyrdom of Deacon Stephen, which occasioned the persecution of the fledgling Christian community in Jerusalem. That persecution was led by Saul, who was yet to experience his dramatic conversion to Christ and to become the Apostle Paul. The persecution in Jerusalem looks like a setback, but God uses the dispersal of believers as an instrument for the dissemination of his word and the growth of the infant church. Philip, who was ordained a deacon with Stephen, along with five other reputable and pious men, goes with the power of the Holy Spirit, first into Samaria, north of Jerusalem, where he performs wondrous deeds. Then, at the beckoning of an angel of the Lord, he travels south toward Gaza to proclaim Christ, creating immense joy, uplifting spirits to God, as our responsorial psalm from Psalm 66 professes. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Today, we hear Philip, as he was traveling south from Jerusalem to Gaza, was prompted by the Holy Spirit to evangelize a eunuch, a Gentile, who was a court official to the queen of the Ethiopians. Philip encounters a eunuch who is reading a passage from Isaiah, that passage known as one of the suffering servant's songs, describing an unnamed servant of God who suffers in silence for the sins of the people. The eunuch hungers. He hungers to understand what the passage from Isaiah means. Who is Isaiah referring to? Philip, prompted by the Holy Spirit, uses the scripture passage from Isaiah as a basis to proclaim Jesus, showing how Jesus fulfills the scriptures. Philip is catechizing the eunuch into the Christian faith, so much so that he baptizes this unnamed person. The Holy Spirit then calls Philip to travel north along the seacoast to Azotus and then Caesarea to continue his ministry work. Philip exemplifies how being attuned to the Holy Spirit, obeying the Spirit's promptings, can not only productively guide our lives, but expand our abilities to bear fruitfulness in ministry to others. The story of Philip and the eunuch illustrates the general pattern of the rapid spread of the gospel beyond the boundaries of the Jewish community. The martyrdom of Stephen and the persecution of Christians in Jerusalem prompted Philip's, and most likely others, as led by the Spirit, to move and preach, with signs and wonders and to evangelize to the Gentiles. It shows that God's plan to spread the good news of salvation could not be hindered by what would seem to be setbacks in a particular place, but rather the good news of salvation can be brought to all nations, to all peoples, all classes of people, from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. These passages from Acts reminds us when we are faced with bad news or failures to not lose heart, trust and yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, where our hope lies not in human success, but our hope lies in God, for whom nothing is impossible. The events recorded in Acts are after the death and resurrection of Jesus, with the apostles and disciples of Christ professing what Jesus is proclaiming in the Gospel of St. John in this week, from chapter 6 of that Gospel, during Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus is proclaiming the phenomenal reality: I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now we know that bread is a staple of life. It's prevalent throughout the world in virtually every culture and geographic region. For as the psalmist once prayed to God, you bring bread from the earth, food to build our strength. Jesus indicates that while bread, or the manna provided to the Israelites in the desert, with that sustained mortal lives, all still died. He offers something more, so much more, that he is the bread of life come down from heaven. And whoever eats this bread will live forever. He is the food that gives us immortality. St. John's Gospel chronicles many of the wondrous deeds of Jesus, signs to convert people's hearts to the powerful presence of God in their lives, in our lives. The multiplication of the 5 barley loaves to feed the thousands was a sign, it was a miracle, and a pathway for Jesus to provide his teaching on the Bread of Life discourse that conveys to us, or is conveyed to us, in this chapter 6. Of St. John's Gospel. Yet, many of the people failed to comprehend the meaning of the miraculous sign. The hunger of their bodies was fulfilled, most certainly, but their hearts remain empty, lacking awareness that Jesus was the fullness of God's revelation and the source of eternal salvation, that Jesus was the life-giving bread sent to us by God. Their focus was the satisfaction of their temporal lives, while Jesus offered them, as he offers us, himself as the food for real life, a relationship with the living God who created us in love and for love of him. Now, we should not harshly judge our brothers and sisters from that early time. While our faith teaches our hunger for the bread of eternal life is fulfilled in the consecration of the Eucharist, where the bread and wine truly become the body and blood of Christ, there are many who, while professing to be aligned with the faith, sometimes doubt or do not believe what our catechism states. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. In the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained. This is a key doctrine of the faith, and the teaching that sets Catholics apart from most other Christians. My friends, the question for us to ponder is, where is our priority? On seeking fulfillment of physical existence, or a craving hunger for the real life that Jesus offers? The question is, do we believe that he is the bread which nourishes us in this life and breathes into us the possibility of eternal life, which begins here and now, not after we die, and not after we shed our mortal bodies? Our actions, our conduct, our faith, or the lack thereof, will demonstrate whether we realize and embrace the eternal sustenance offered by Jesus, or whether we permit it to go stale, to go moldy within the recesses of our hearts. Jesus offers himself as the spiritual food which produces the God of life within us. Through him, we have friendship with the living God. And through him, we have the hope of resurrection. Jesus does not reject anyone who comes to him in faith. None of the souls entrusted to him by God are wiped from his table of salvation as unworthy morsels. Every fragment is precious to him. But we are called in faith to believe in the gift being offered by God, that his gift is eternal life through Jesus. As Jesus states, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes, truly believes, has eternal life." In just a few moments, we will come to the holy table of the Lamb, where he will become the guest of our souls. Reflect then, as we receive Holy Communion, that we unite our wills with his, to share this meal, this life-giving bread, this sacrifice Jesus made for us to have eternal salvation. In preparation to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's a communion prayer. It's one of my favorites, and perhaps commonly known, that brings into focus the immense gift we receive from Christ through the Eucharist. The prayer reads, "Come, blessed Savior, and nourish our souls with heavenly food, which contains every sweetness and every delight. Come, bread of angels, satisfy the hunger of our souls. Come, glowing furnace of charity, and kindle in our hearts the flame of divine love. Come, light of the world, and enlighten the darkness of our minds. Come, King of kings, make us obedient to your holy will. Come, loving Savior, and make us meek and humble. Come, friend of the sick, heal the infirmities of our bodies and the weaknesses of our souls. And come, good shepherd, our God and our all, and take us to yourself." So my friends, when we approach for communion, to receive the Eucharist, the living bread come down from heaven, let us ponder the wonderful gift we are to receive and profess our faith by profoundly exclaiming, "Amen, I believe."